You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere. It's the John and Gordy Show.
Do you know what this means?
Wouldn't you like to know, weather boy?
You're pretty high and far out, aren't you? What kind of kick are you on, son?
No good bastard. Your show sucks.
What made me think this was a good day to stop drinking?
Buddy, you want coffee?
Coffee.
Black coffee.
Coffee.
They warned us about people like you!
What a load of crap.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
We'll do it live!
And that's the way it is.
On 92.7 FM WMDX. Take it away, boys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a lot of stuff today. Oh, my gosh, the big story. Oh, yeah. Huge stories.
All right. We'll get to that in just a moment.
All right.
WMDX 92.7. It's John Peterson, Gordy Young, and Sam Davison behind the controls. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by Verlo's Mismatch Sale. Verlo of Madison. The Mismatch Sale is happening right now. Get savings on top of savings. Every Verlo mattress made locally and backed by their lifetime comfort guarantee. And the Verlo mattresses offer long-lasting craftsmanship at unbelievable prices. That Mismatch Sale going on now. Verlo Mattress of Madison, two locations, east side and west side. Go to verlo.com.
All right.
Okay. Over to you, John.
Well, this is a very odd and just bizarre story. Arlington Cemetery, their guide for the cemetery, obscured areas that black and women in the military are located in.
What?
They're making it difficult to find these graves at Arlington Cemetery.
In the National Cemetery. Yeah,
the New York Times reports among the obscured pages are cemetery guides focused on black soldiers, women in the military service, and Civil War veterans. Some of the materials were still online on Friday, but they were no longer easily accessible through the cemetery's website. A part of the site devoted to segregation and civil rights was largely scrubbed from the site.
What?
That section once included a walking tour focused on black soldiers and a lesson plan on Reconstruction. By the time this man leaves office, he will have erased so much American history, it will appear the country was built and defended by only white men. And I've said this a long time ago, that DEI is purely a racist agenda.
Mm-hmm.
They're wiping everything out because of that.
Now, I've been to Arlington a couple of times, and it's a very moving experience. Yeah. I saw JFK's grave there, and Bobby Kennedy there, and you know, the unknown soldier. I mean, it's unbelievable because it started right after the Civil War, I believe, and all the soldiers. And it just goes on and on. And you know, yesterday I heard that they scrubbed because they're on this DEI kick of getting rid of DEI. They scrubbed Jackie Robinson's history.
I did hear that too.
Off of any government website or any, you know, historical thing that they could get their hands on. Jackie Robinson, first black player in Major League Baseball. They're trying to just erase that history.
Another example, there are so many examples. They're using DEI to wipe clean the history, the black history in this country. Just get it out of there.
Yeah.
And I just knew that this was the actual agenda. I just had a gut feeling for it. I'm sure a lot of you out there have also probably felt the same way, that this is what they're leading up to. Whitewashing history, so to speak. Ezra Klein, great reporter, Ezra Klein, was on television the other day, and he was interviewed, and he had this version of what the Trump Elon vision of America is, and this is cut 173. Let's check out Ezra Klein coming back again with some commentary.
Okay.
Opposite visions of the future. Yeah, I'd like a Department of Government efficiency, but I would also like a government that is led by people who have a humane vision of the future. And the problem with DOGE, The problem with Trump, the problem with Musk, the problem with Vance is not just that they are trying to break the government and corrupt it, though they are. It's that their vision of the future is terrible. Their vision of the future is cramped. Their vision of the future is a rollback to the 19th century. Not just the 19th century in terms of our morals and our values and the way we think about human dignity and who can be here, but also even just the economy. The America has become and remained the strongest economy in the world because it is deeply integrated at the frontier of ideas. And they have zero respect for it. It's astonishing. The idea that we're going to make everything, every piece of these complex supply chains here while we alienate every single ally we've made.
And like, let's be clear, there's absolutely no plan to build
there is
out
no
the supply
plan.
Chain
it,
here.
Not,
zero.
It's not detox of the economy, they're poisoning it. Their vision sucks. So the problem is not just efficiency. Yeah, I want a Department of Government efficiency, that's fine. But I want efficiency towards an end, towards a vision of the future that isn't terrible, a vision of the future that imagines more for us, a vision of the future that has innovations we actually want. Elon Musk is a walking object lesson in how much can be created with public-private partnerships. This guy is, every company he has built is built on federal money, and here he is destroying the federal government and pulling up the ladder after him. I cannot say, like, it is a terrible vision. Efficiency in service of, like, a horrible idea of the future is not efficiency. That's just the wrong path.
That's Ezra Klein again. Yeah, he is a reporter currently at the New York Times, one of the co-founders of Vox.com. Great place to actually get a lot of information there. But along this same vein, Fareed Zakaria had something to say about the direction of the country as well.
Yeah.
When it comes to education, you know, he's a journalist.
Right.
Great guy. Kind of middle of the road for me, but in a lot of cases, he comes right down and bottom lines it for all of us. And let's check that out. That's cut 172.
Okay. Here we go.
Here's my take. There is no area where America's global dominance is more total than higher education. With about 4% of the world's population and 25% of its GDP, America has 72% of the world's 25 top universities by one ranking and 64% by another. But this crucial American competitive advantage is being undermined by the Trump administration's war on colleges. Hat tip to the New York Times' Michelle Goldberg for raising this issue as well. Listen to what J.D. Vance said at the National Conservatism Conference in 2021.
We have to honestly and aggressively attack the universities in this country. The professors are the enemy.
Wow.
The administration has put those words into action. The most dramatic assault has been financial, a freezing or massive reduction in research grants and loans from the federal government. Some of these efforts are under court review, but the cumulative impact could be billions of dollars in cuts to basic research, much of it disrupting ongoing projects and programs. High-quality research in the United States has emerged in a unique ecosystem. The federal government provides much of the funding through high-quality institutions like the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation, and private foundations and companies account for most of the rest. Professors at universities, both public and private, use these funds to conduct the research.
That's right.
No other country has a system that works as well.
Right.
What is at risk now is what Holden Thorpe, the editor-in-chief of Science, calls the social contract that the federal government and institutions have had to enable the scientific research enterprise in America in the last 80 years. The fury with which the Trump administration has turned on academia resembles nothing so much as the early days of the Cultural Revolution, when an increasingly paranoid Mao Zedong smashed China's established universities, a madness that took generations to remedy. Meanwhile, in Beijing last week, the Chinese government announced its intention to massively increase its funding for research and technology so that it could lead the world in science in the 21st century.
There you go.
So, as America seems to be copying the worst aspects of China's recent history, China is copying the best aspects of America's, striving to take the edge as America goes through its own cultural revolution.
And horror, wow. The horror of this idea is just outrageous. I know. And we're seeing it here, funding cut for scientific research at the UW, and the cost of jobs in this area. It just boggles the mind.
Yes,
I mean,
what?
It seems like the wrong place to make these cuts. I don't know. Who am I? I'm not the genius that supposedly Elon is.
They are. You know. Phone lines are open, 608-879-8255. That's 879-TALK. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. Text us or call us right from the app. It's free to download. Let's go to the phones right now. Dick is on the line with a question or a comment. Good morning, Dick. Go ahead.
Well, you beat me to, Jackie Robinson.
Ah.
But a couple of weeks ago, I brought up to you guys, and I think it's time. Former presidents, after this nonsense last Saturday at the Department of Justice speech, and then now calling for a judge to be impeached.
Yeah.
And somewhat clashing with Roberts from the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
I mean, when are they going to stand up and say something?
Former presidents?
Yeah. This is not normal.
Right.
It really isn't.
Yeah, that's a good question.
No one should be standing on the sidelines at this point, you know, especially the former presidents. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And not only that, but now the Supreme Court has to sit there and think about the decision they made about giving him immunity. How is that going to play out in as far as what he is capable of doing and he has a right to do given to him by the Supreme Court themselves?
There was a headline on CNN this morning. I don't think either of you mentioned it. Maybe you noticed it. That Justice Roberts said there's something like 200 years of precedent saying that the president does not go after judges saying that they should be impeached when he doesn't like them for whatever reason.
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't say the same thing and decide differently about the immunity decision. There's 200 years of precedent with that as well, that presidents are not kings, yet he decided differently.
Yeah.
And a lot of these decisions that Trump is making right now can be official acts.
Well, that's it. Yeah. And that's the immunity covers any official act
exactly
that he does. So
exactly.
He just has to say, well, this is an official act.
Exactly. How is this all going to work out? It's like this awful jigsaw puzzle that you know is going to turn out to be something, you know, like somebody giving you the finger when you finally got it put together.
Yes.
It's just a craziness.
18 minutes past the hour. Coming up, we'll check in on what's happening weather-wise with WMDX meteorologist Brittany Merlot. That's coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
Oh, I can't control myself. Oh, I can't control myself. Oh, I can't control myself. Leave me hanging on the telephone. Hang out there on you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the morning from the capital city, Madison, Wisconsin, and... Yeah. I just want to mention here, we were talking about the new thing going on, you know, for people who have to go back to the office, coffee badging, where you badge in and you leave early and finish your work at home. And Lynn out in Golden Valley says, at my last job, one had to badge in and out. So you couldn't do it at that particular company. Thanks, Lynn. Coffee badging, something to keep in mind.
You know,
Brittany Merlot.
I kind of do that here some.
Really?
Brittany, you work exclusively from home pretty much, don't you?
Yeah.
I do. The weather's just so crazy. I don't have time to run back and forth to an office when it's changing all the time. So it's nice.
That's true.
But I work my butt off, you know.
Yeah.
I find myself working harder from home than if I was at the office. I'd probably do a little bit more water cooler talking, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
So weather-wise, today we're talking about some rain, maybe some thunderstorms, and moving in this afternoon, and some gusty winds, right?
We've been battling it out here in the studio. You haven't been privy to this discussion, but we've had some problems trying to coordinate the high temperature for today, so we're depending on you, Brittany, to settle this once and for all.
Yes.
Okay. I've got this.
As the WMDX meteorologist, this falls in your court.
Yes.
So straighten us out.
My realm. Yes. Okay. So high temperatures today, I think we're going to hit 40 this afternoon.
Okay.
All right. Did someone guess that?
That was our first choice. And then we had reports of like 50. And then we started bumping into walls and getting confused.
I don't blame you. That's what the storm is doing to me, too. It's all over the place. I mean, we're going to get 6 to 9 inches of snow up north right here at my house.
Wow.
What?
I know. I'm getting hit hard. We should just name this storm Brittany. I'm so very excited.
I know you are.
So we're going to get some snow here in Madison, too, right? A little bit, anyway, later today or tonight.
Huh? Yep, sure thing. So what you guys got going on is basically it's a little breezy. It's going to get really windy by this afternoon and into the evening. You've got a storm right now just down to the southwest that might sweep by into the northern burbs of the Madison area, probably in about 30 to 40 minutes or so. But after that one, a little bit of a break. I think the main wave of rain rolls in after 10 o'clock this morning. We'll see some showers, some storms. The threat of them becoming severe is there. It's a marginal risk. Mm-hmm. But what we would get with those severe storms is really just some hail risks there. I think the high winds and the tornadoes are going to stay well south into Illinois and away from us. So mid-morning to early evening, showers, storms, winds really start to whip, gusting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour. So a wind advisory does go into effect tonight. Mm-hmm. Windy, wet, gross. Looking at about an inch of rainfall, and then it flips to a wintry mix and snow right around 5 o'clock this evening. So right as everyone's trying to head home and out on the road, the timing's terrible. That's when it's going to get slick and slippery. So snow from about 5 to around midnight or so, then it flurries out. New models, new data wants to give you guys 2 to 4 inches of snowfall.
No.
Bumped it up a little bit.
No.
Okay.
I think we're going to be broadcasting from Gordy's house tomorrow.
I think so. Yeah, actually, we are.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It'll be a good time. Okay. Well, so just look out this afternoon for the rain, or I guess that's starting up in an hour or two, and then getting windy, and then turning over to snow this evening.
Kind of a gross day, unfortunately.
I don't even want to know what's going on in the weekend, I suppose.
What is going on in the weekend?
Will we have any weather on the weekend?
So does Friday count as the weekend, or are we just looking at Saturday and Sunday?
Saturday and Sunday.
Friday, we're looking at a little bit of light rain, which could flip to a little bit of light snow Friday night. Saturday looks good, dry, sunny. Oh, and Sunday, we got another system hitting with a wintry mix of rain, snow, heavy accumulations. So Saturday's the best day.
All right. Well,
Gordy's face. Yeah, all right. He's like, ooh. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Brittany. We appreciate that.
Thanks for the bad or good news. I'm not quite sure.
I wish I had. I know. I'm sorry. Spring's soon, okay? Spring is around the corner, and so is baseball season.
Yes. All right. Brittany, thank you very much.
All right.
Talk to you tomorrow. That's Brittany Merlot, our WMDX meteorologist. This portion of John and Gordy in the Morning brought to you by David J. Frank, your turnkey one-stop landscaping resource, celebrating 65 years in business, doing lawn care, flower care, trimming, shaping, pruning. They do it all. Residential and commercial, the largest landscape contractor in Wisconsin. They have branches in Madison, Milwaukee, Kenosha, and other locations as well. Find out all the latest what they're up to. DavidJFrank.com is the website. DavidJFrank.com.
Will they paint my plants for me?
All those
bushes in front of my house are half dead. They could use a nice coat of green paint.
I'm sure they will do that, but you should talk to our horticulturalist, Amy Horak, next time we have her in for the horticulturalist report. Okay?
Hey, you got it out. I got to applaud you.
All right. There it is.
I'm sick. Give me a break.
You're good. You know, Governor Evers came out recently, and he was just a little stunned by what the Republicans want to do this time around. That is, they want their own doge. thing going here in Wisconsin, and it's crazy and it's nuts, and the fact that they've been in charge for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, why would they need it?
Haven't we already had the audits for fraud, waste, and abuse? Haven't we? I don't know why would we need this now. They've been there for us, I thought, anyway. Here's Governor Evers.
Okay.
I just have another question about the Assembly Committee for Government Operations, Accountability, Transparency. They had their first meeting. What do you hope comes from that?
I think nothing's going to come from it, frankly. We have the legislature has the Audit Bureau. They do this work all the time. So it's a... I'll say it out loud. It's a joke committee that's essentially looking for things so that they can say, oh my God, look at what's happening here or here. They already have a legislative audit committee. They're wasting money is what's happening. And it's too bad. Basically, they want to do what our friend Musk is doing at the federal level, which is essentially exploding government. So I think it's a joke. Obviously, the legislature can create whatever committees they want, but... We already pay people to do that work, the legislature. And if they want to get rid of the audit committee and audit work, they can do that. They just don't need to duplicate it.
And Governor Evers.
Get their own little DOGE committee together as well. My goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do? You know, I mean, what can you say? I think he said it all right there, really, technically.
Did. Coming up next, after we check in with the Midwest Farm Report, Mike McCabe will join us talking about what's vertical, what's horizontal in politics, right?
And wearing the white hat.
And he's got the hat on this morning.
Yeah.
All right. We're coming back with more of John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
Capital to the campus and all across Dane County, we've got Madison Talking, 92.7 WMDX.
And another beautiful morning in the capital city. Not really.
Well, we're in for some rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. And maybe some snow this evening, and going to be a sloppy mix by the time you head home. Late in the day.
You're going to have to wait to put that gazebo up. You really can't.
In my back
just
patio?
Just don't do it this weekend like you were planning.
By the way, you know, our WMDX newsletter comes out on every Thursday, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You know, it comes out once a week. If you sign up now, you can receive that newsletter in your emails. Just go to WMDXradio.com and sign up and get that newsletter coming right into your email. All kinds of behind-the-scenes information, what we're up to here at WMDX, and some great information about Madison and Southern Wisconsin.
All right.
All right. Time for Mike McCabe.
That's right. Substack and author, blogger, in the studio once again, and we always get into these deep discussions about what the heck we're going to do as far as positioning is concerned when it comes to the Democratic Party.
And Mike is wearing his new white cap that he featured last week on the air.
Yeah.
It's looking good, man.
Thank you.
And an actual picture. Posted a picture of all of us here in the studio on Substack. You got to check that out. It's fantastic stuff. We'll have a link. Can we put a link on there? And one of the things that, you know, we were talking about is the disarray that the Democrats are in at this point. And day after day, do you watch the news on all of this? Do you watch the coverage on this? Because I do pay
attention to the news.
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid the discussions.
Too much.
Because they're always talking about, well, the Democrats are trying to come up with this, and they want to do this, but, you know, they're losing that. So how do they get this back? And, you know, it drives me crazy. I want to claw my eyes out.
I saw The Onion had a headline, Chuck
Chuck Schumer draws Democrats back from the brink of courage.
Well, that says it all. Yeah, he's getting a lot of flack for that. That's standing up.
That is beautiful. You know, it's like we can't take a chance. It's like we can't step out. We just don't have that much courage, you know, to put it all out there on the line and just see what happens. Because it's going to happen anyway with this administration. We don't have to make them do anything. You know, if we do this and we take the courage to maybe, you know, put everything on the line and stop the government from operating, maybe we can get something done. And the fact, I think the most irritating fact was that they didn't use any tactical measure to negotiate at all to pass this resolution. Right? It's crazy, right? They had the ability to filibuster, and in order to take that off the table, all I had to do was say, well, we'll do this, and then we'll vote for your bill if you just come to the middle here and give us something. And they didn't even try to do that. And I heard Chuck Schumer say that they weren't even offering it. So that's why he didn't try.
And the excuse that was offered for supporting this was that if you had a government shutdown, it would be so much worse because they could even do more dismantling.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That budget bill included language that stripped away congressional directives about how money is spent and gave the administration more flexibility.
Even more power.
So even that bill that they said we've got to swallow hard and pass this thing was facilitating the administration's destruction of a lot of these programs. But, you know, I'm less concerned about what the Democrats do or don't do than I am about the American people. And how they're being manipulated, how they're being propagandized, how we're all being conditioned to think in ways that are self-destructive. And that's what I'm most concerned about. And that's what my most recent article's about. And, you know, I think now more than ever, thinking about what Ezra Klein said, the clip you played in the last half hour, and what Fareed Zakaria said in the last half hour, we really need to think about two people that you don't know. We don't know their names. They're invisible in today's America. One is a man and the other's a woman. He's white. She's black. He lives in the country. She lives in the city. He votes Republican and she votes Democratic. So the way we've been conditioned to think about these two people, they're enemies. We see them as enemies. They see each other as enemies.
They're described in the media as enemies.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's lives in the country. He's a farmer. And she lives in the city, and she's a daycare worker. We've even been conditioned not only to see them as enemies, but we've been conditioned to accept stereotypes of them. One side of America, blue America, is trained to see him as a hick, a redneck, see him as stupid and uneducated and ignorant. And he's managed to keep his head above water running a family business. So how stupid is he?
Yeah.
Come on. And red America is conditioned to see her as a welfare queen.
Right.
Sitting on her backside, popping out babies, collecting government checks, lazy, dependent. That's how they see her. Yet she goes to work every day. She does really, really hard work for very little pay, and she's scraping by. Through her own initiative, she's making ends meet, barely. The thing is, both of them are barely making ends meet. But the way we've been conditioned to think in red America and blue America, thinking left to right on that traditional horizontal political spectrum, we're trained to see them in these caricatured ways. We see them as enemies. They see each other as enemies. Yep. When in fact, if you flip that spectrum up on its head and think top to bottom instead, don't think liberals and conservatives. Think about the ruling class and the working class. Think about royals and commoners. Mm-hmm. They're on the very same spot on that spectrum. They're right there, clustered together. They've got so much in common, and yet they've been divided and conquered. And haven't we all been divided and conquered? That's why I decided to start wearing the white cap.
Mm-hmm.
Because red America's been conditioned to think in a certain way. Blue America's been conditioned to think in a certain way. And we're conditioned to see potential allies as enemies. That is not an accident. That's something that the ruling class in this country has worked really hard to produce. They've carefully nurtured that kind of thinking because they know that that's what keeps them in power. That's what allows them to lord over the rest of us. And that's what I'm more concerned about, how we've accepted that conditioning of our thinking, than I am about what the Democrats do or don't do.
Right. Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And I think at the same time, the town halls that we're seeing are now turning on Democrats as well, thanks to Chuck Schumer. Now we're all frustrated at just the political parties themselves. It doesn't matter whether they're, you know, red or blue. We're just angry that nothing is getting done. No one's trying to do anything different. We're just watching the dismantling of our own government, the one that we grew up with, the one we assume takes care of us when we need it most, even though we do have to protest from time to time and nudge them a little bit. We still had something there. We had a backup. It was there for us to at least depend on. And now we don't even have that anymore. And it's frustrating the hell out of everyone, political left and right. I think you're right. It's now vertical. We have to look at this from a vertical viewpoint.
And it really, there is a magical thing that can happen if you start to think about politics exactly, vertically yes. instead of horizontally. When you think about who's got all the money, and you've got these billionaires trying to become trillionaires and this handful of people who've sort of sopped up all the nation's wealth. And you think about who's got all the money. You think who's got all the power. You think whose voice matters. Elon Musk bought a platform where he can force everybody on that platform to see every word he utters.
Yeah.
He can make sure that his tweets are seen by 17 or 20 or 25 million people. And if there's speech out there that he doesn't care for so much, he can create an algorithm that will throttle that speech and make sure that dozens of people or maybe hundreds of people see that tweet
mm-hmm.
where everybody has to see his. So he's got an amplified voice. He has a platform that allows him to silence or at least muffle other voices that he doesn't care for so much. And then there's all these other people, the masses, who are struggling to make ends meet. They don't have enough to live on. They don't have any political power, and they don't have a voice that is even recognizable. Like I said, there's these two people in America that we don't think about enough who are invisible to red and blue America. And yet there they are, potential allies who have been trained to see each other as enemies.
Talking with Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author. So, okay, so the vertical thinking with the very wealthiest, well-to-do on top in the vertical line, and then on the bottom, everybody else, I mean, little lower and middle class. So how about the people in the middle here? How do they fit in?
Well, it's not just about money. It's also about power.
Okay.
But even if you just look at that vertical spectrum in terms of money,
mm-hmm.
America's basically lost its middle class.
Right.
You've got now the super rich who have enriched themselves to an extreme extent, and a lot of middle class families have fallen out of the middle class. And so it really has become a more stark top and bottom arrangement in this country. We used to have a thriving middle class in America. And that thriving middle class had a great deal of political clout as a result because they had the means to have a meaningful voice in this country. And we had a system, a media system that also gave them an opportunity to have a voice.
Yeah, and they had hope that they could do better along the way.
Absolutely. In my last article, I mentioned that, you know, when I was growing up, we had a black and white television.
Yeah. Right.
And I was almost in junior high by the time we got our first color set. But even when we got the color TV, election results weren't reported in a way that showed red states and blue states.
Right.
It was just a bunch of numbers on a screen.
Exactly.
And that idea of red America and blue America was an invention of people who did go to great lengths to exterminate the middle class and enrich themselves at the middle class's expense. And you know, they created a hollowing out of that great middle that America had. And it is now people who are relatively powerless, struggling economically, who are toward the bottom of that spectrum. And then you've got this small number of people at the top who kind of call all the shots. And we've got to accept that that's what's happened to our society. Hmm. We have seen a hollowing out of the middle class.
Right.
And that's one of the big challenges we have.
Well, now we're looking at it vertically, and everybody's in that same spot, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we have the power brokers at the very top who want more power,
mm-hmm.
who are trying to take advantage of the lower class mm-hmm. and strip them even more of the power that they have, if they have any at all at this point. So how do we take care of something like that? Now, I heard a report about how the Democrats kind of lost the youth vote this time around simply because they weren't appealing to that. They were still going toward the more traditional Democratic side, where the youth want more action. They want something absolutely done.
Absolutely.
They have specific ideas on how they want to do this, and they were ignored totally.
Yep.
And I think we're losing the men on this because the men are the ones that are going to the right. They're finding
careful there, you're going to horizontal again.
No, I know. But I
challenge that kind of thinking for a reason.
Okay. I'm glad.
Because we slip into it so easily. Because it's become natural.
Mm-hmm.
We're just used to doing it. We slip right into it because they've trained us to slip right into it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there I go. See? Thanks for catching me.
We will continue with Mike McCabe in just a moment on John and Gordy in the Morning, WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
WMDX 92.7, John and Gordy in the Morning.
This portion of the show being brought to you by Verlo Mattress. The mismatch sale is back. It's the biggest sale of the year at Verlo Mattress of Madison. Mismatch on the outside, the same Verlo long-lasting craftsmanship on the inside. Hurry in now, save an additional 10% off of every mattress and box spring. Wake up and sleep better. Verlo Mattress of Madison, two locations, East Side and West Side. Go to verlo.com for more.
We're talking to Mike McCabe, Substack blogger and author, and we kind of left off at the point where you pointed out my big mistake going left and right again because of young men picking the conservative side of the aisle. The idea here is that DEI, I think, is influencing a heck of a lot of what's going on. I think it's the wild card in all of this because it kind of slipped in there. You know, CRT was the big deal at first, and then, of course, they went to DEI. But then I was wary of it. I thought it was a very racist way of going about doing things. But it is to the extreme now. It is actually trying to desperately erase Black history and history of women, and it's throwing me off quite a bit here.
Yeah.
So you can't go left or right on this one.
I think what's important is to keep in mind that this is no accident. Mm-hmm. That they're demonizing these initials. They're turning they're creating boogeymen.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that they can keep putting each other all of us at each other's throats, just so they can divide and conquer us. This is a very conscious strategy. I don't think they're bent on erasing history. They're bent on making sure that people hate each other, mm-hmm. and that people are at each other's throats. It's the way they manipulate us. And you know, I just ran into a comment to a post of mine online, and I've seen this comment 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times, where I was talking about how farmers would be hurt mm-hmm. by tariffs and by mass deportations because farmers are heavily reliant on migrant labor, and all of these policies would be devastating to the farm economy. And somebody comments, "I don't care about the farmers because they voted for Trump."
Yeah.
Well, right,
yeah.
Of course, not all of them voted for Trump. They're not monolithic any more than any other population right. is monolithic. Yeah. So that's nonsense. But that was the attitude yeah. that screw them. They voted for Trump. Therefore, mm-hmm. I don't care if they go out of business. I don't care if they suffer. And of course, those people out in rural America are being propagandized to think, "I don't care if that woman in the city starves and her children starve because she's a welfare queen and she's not earning her keep, and you know, to hell with her."
Or she's an immigrant.
Exactly. And, you know, the stereotypes get created so that people can be divided and conquered.
Right.
And I think the key is for us to be able to see what they're doing to us and then resist it. And like I said, it's why I decided to start wearing a white cap mm-hmm. because they've decided we've got to have red American, blue American. We've got to have those Americas hate each other. And that's what we have to be conscious of, and then we have to break free of. And this cap is not only my personal expression of disgust and objection to the way they're trying to divide and conquer us, but it's also an expression of optimism that attitudes can change and that people can change. And in my latest Substack article, I end it by pointing out that 30 years ago, less than 1 in 10 Americans believed that gay marriage was acceptable. And they and 90% of Americans actually felt that kind of policy would be an abomination. And the vast majority of Americans felt that gay sex is, quote, always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It is never acceptable. 30 years later, the majority of the population believed that same-sex marriage was okay, and the Supreme Court made it the law of the land.
Right.
So attitudes can change, and hearts can change, and walls can come crumbling down. And what the key is the thinking of the American people, not this was not the behavior of the Democrats or the Republicans that made that change. It was changing minds and changing hearts among the American people that ended up making same-sex marriage an acceptable law of the land in this country. And that happened within a 30-year span.
Is there a way that the town halls can change the way we think about being divided?
It's possible that people will congregate because of their mutual suffering at the hands of these policy decisions.
Because, you know, it's got to take the people in this thing. We've given up on the damn politicians at this point.
Yeah. Absolutely. And change is always driven by this kind of
social
unrest. And mm-hmm. that's what gets attention. And so that is a hopeful sign. And maybe as people congregate at these various town hall meetings in these mm-hmm. various congressional districts around the country, these two people I described,
right,
who see each other as enemies, yeah. will each be in that same room, and maybe they'll start to, in some cases, have something of a meeting of the minds, and right. and that's yeah. what can bring about change. And so, like I said, to me, the white cap is not only an expression of objection, but it's also an expression of optimism.
I can see that being our new line, right, Johnny Gordy, white hat. We'll give
There's
you some
hope
credit
for the future.
We'll give you some credit, Mike.
Mike McCabe, we got to leave it there. We'll see All you right. next Wednesday. That's Mike McCabe, Substack author of Miracles Along County Q. All right. Tomorrow, we will welcome back Tim Slecker to the show.
Busted Pencils.
Yes. Stephanie Miller's coming up next. That's going to do it for John and Gordy. We hope you have a great day.
We hope that we've given you a positive story or two here on the show.
So long.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.